Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, it's time for another live performance in our Soundcheck podcast series. I'm John Schaefer. Zakir Hussain has played with many of the greatest musicians in the fields of jazz, rock, and, of course, Indian classical music. Ravi Shankar, Mickey Hart of the Grateful Dead, banjo whiz Bela Fleck, the band Shakti, the Detroit Symphony. He's played with a whole world of musicians. And over the course of his career, he's put together percussion-based supergroups, which these days tour under the name Zakir Hussain and Friends. And joining us in the studio today from that ensemble is the leading jazz drummer Eric Harland, along with virtuoso sitar player Niladri Kumar. Zakir and Eric will start us off with a live improvisation.
That is, I don't know what that was. It turned into a cutting contest halfway through.
What do you mean, what was that? That was drumming at its finest. Tabla playing not so bad either.
Zakir Hussain playing the tabla and Eric Harland behind our drum kit. And that really was almost like a conversation, you know, where you would make a statement, Zakir, on the drums, and then Eric would reply to it.
Well, I would say all improvised form of music is conversation, and it has to be. I mean, you're talking, you just say, you sitting in the dressing room, hi, hello, how's your watch? Oh, I like your new iPhone, and, you know, all that stuff. And then you go on the stage and you carry on the conversation. You just change from speaking English or Hindi or whatever to speaking drum or melody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens.
Well, and the tabla can do both. I mean, that's one of the great things about
it. Yeah, it can. You know. I can say, Dagenakat, titikata gadi, titikata gadi gina dadi, dadi, da, titikata nakat. No? You just lift your hands. And
Eric
say,
just throws his hands up.
I am not joining this one.
It's called surrender.
But those are called the bowls,
they
those
bowls,
syllables.
Which literally translates to speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So when they used to listen to music, the teachers, when teaching a student, would say bowl, meaning speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would sing these rhythms. And then the student has to repeat them back. So he will bowl some words, and then the student will bowl some words, meaning speak some words. So literally it means to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, the word stuck, bowl.
Right. and each syllable has a different stroke of the drum associated with it.
Different parts of the tabla has different fingers hitting it.
Right.
And each of them are assigned different tones and notes.
Now, Eric, I mean, have you done anything like this before? I mean, we've heard you in a lot of different... this is not your first rodeo here in our studio, but, and, you know, each time it's been with a different ensemble, but the language of jazz has been sort of common to everyone that I've heard you play with. Have you done anything like this before?
Not in the same genre field, I should say. Gracious master guru Zakir has invited me to share the stage with these fine, wonderful gentlemen.
All right, and, enough.
It's great, but it's a completely different world for me, but I'm enjoying the experience of gaining awareness, knowledge, and understanding of the way that they interpret rhythm.
You know, the saying is music is an international language, and that's
yes,
a wonderful idea, but in fact, music is many languages.
Indeed.
And, you know, Indian classical rhythms, Zakir, are built up in an additive process, right?
Yes.
Whereas, Eric, jazz is all about subdividing those beats to get into the kind of the syncopations and stuff.
Yeah, subdividing the beats is not necessarily just jazz.
Sure.
It's just something that's just been indoctrined to jazz because we use it in the form of communication and improvisation, as Zakir was talking about. But subdividing is the world language of rhythm. And that's what Zakir is saying, is that that's what they're playing. And I believe at some point, because I feel like their language came first, that we adopted it as jazz language. Because, you know, if jazz is American language,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, definitely Mother India has been here longer before America. So we definitely took the language from them, and then we, you know, indoctrinated it into our own, you know.
Well, there's a word that my father used, mm-hmm. and it's a word that is commonly used even in like the Middle Eastern drumming and Indian drumming, and the word is called taksim.
Mm-hmm.
And taksim actually literally means to distribute.
Uh-huh.
So when you're starting to play rhythm, you distribute things around. And that can also, the flip side of the coin, be subdividing.
Right.
So that is a common factor or at the core of being a drum improviser or a rhythm improviser or even a melodic improviser. The difference is, as a sitar player, Niladri Kumar will subdivide the notes
mm-hmm.
and put them in different combinations and permutations, lengthwise being different through one beat to the next beat to the next beat. And we will do pretty much the same thing.
Now, you mentioned your dad, who was the legendary tabla player Ala Raka, who mm-hmm. accompanied Ravi Shankar 50
yes.
years ago at Monterey Pop and at Woodstock. And this particular tour, you were telling me, celebrates a very special occasion.
Yes. You know, April is a blessed month for Indian music. And that is because on the 7th of April, we had Ravi Shankar's birthday. Then on 14th of April, we had the great Ali Akbar Khan's birthday. And on 29th of April is my father's birthday.
Wow. But, you know, you've always done these sorts of percussion things, going back to the Diga Rhythm Band, Planet Drum with Mickey Hart,
mm-hmm.
your own rhythm experience. What is it about putting together drummers from all these different parts of the world that continually appeals to you?
Well, what's important to me is for people to understand that underneath all that's being displayed on the surface lies the pulse or the rhythm that is the carpet on which everything is put. And so that's important to be recognized. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, the importance of what the contribution of rhythm is in a music performance. In the olden days in India, even as recent as 1960s, you never knew who the drummer was on a record.
Really?
Yeah.
Your dad changed that.
That was changed by people like my father. And suddenly people started recognizing that tabla or any kind of a drum is just as an integral part of a concert as the lead horn player or a lead piano player or a bass player. And in fact, the way I describe it, the rhythm section is the chauffeur in a great car called a song. And they will chauffeur and drive it on a highway, making sure that there are no potholes, avoiding any kind of distress on the road, and smoothly bring the song to its final destination.
Yeah.
And that's an important chore and an important job. And many of the times it just went thankless.
Yeah.
So for me, rhythms being featured is a very important aspect of my life. And Mickey Hart and I first started with Diga Rhythm Band in the 1974-75,
right.
And we just wanted to bring attention to this incredible tradition of drumming. I mean, drumming was the important form of communication in a millennium back, and it all changed when the church decided to make it a more Gregorian and rhythm being, you know, pagan and part of a devil, devil advocated stuff. So it went away, but it's not so. It is part of our pulse.
Well, and you know, neuroscientists now will talk about things like entrainment and how when a groove gets going, the brain will just kind of naturally sync up to it.
Yes, yeah. It most certainly does.
And that, you know, scientists have come to realize that just in the last quarter century or so, whereas musicians sort of intuited that,
yeah.
I think probably 2,000 or 3,000 years ago.
Yes, yeah. Yes. There's, yeah. You know, an organic understanding of the natural force in the power of music and rhythm, and that has been passed on from generation to generation to generation.
Right.
Unfortunately, the academic world was not part of that passing on. They were passed out somewhere.
All right. Now, let's bring Niladri Kumar into the conversation, because Niladri, your role in a percussion ensemble is a little different from what a sitarist would normally be, right?
Well, yes, kind of. But at the same time, as you know, like, there are two rails that it takes for the train to run. So one is melody and one is rhythm. And they somehow have to be aligned in tandem at times. So even when I'm not playing probably a very structured pattern or rhythmic phrase, but there's still some kind of a pulse ingrained in the melody, and vice versa.
Yeah.
So it's a...
Well, you guys are full of kind of travel metaphors, you know, the chauffeured car.
Well, you know, we've been on tour for the last 1 month, you know. It's like we've been on the bus.
Planes, trains, and automobiles.
But, you know, Niladri is, Mr. Kumar, if I may say, is one of the great examples of the prosperity that Indian classical music is enjoying. The young musicians that are representing the music at this time in our lives are just phenomenal, just unbelievable and scary.
Well, and this is the many times that you've been in our studio over the years, Niladri is the first person you've ever brought back.
Yes.
This is the second time.
Yes. I mean, and there is a reason behind it. I mean, he's not just a melody player, he's a rhythm player.
Yeah.
And the sitar, being a strumming instrument, has a rhythmic ability,
right.
like a banjo would. And he's able to utilize that and mix it up with us, you know, on equal ground. I mean, and it's great to have that kind of, you know, melodic, rhythmic backup behind us. It fills us with confidence. You know, we rotate around it, and it gives us the centering force needed.
Well, we are speaking with Zakir Hussain, Eric Harland, and Niladri Kumar. Let's put the three of them together for another live improvisation here in the studio. Thank you. Another live improvisation here in our studio from Zakir Hussain playing the tabla, Niladri Kumar playing the sitar, Eric Harland playing our drum kit. And at the beginning, Zakir, it almost sounded like you and Niladri had sort of fallen into one of those light classical pieces, the Adun, for example.
Yeah.
And then as soon as Eric entered,
all hell broke loose.
Oh, now, so, Eric, you studied theology, right?
Yes, sir.
You were ordained a minister?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
So, you know, the idea of...
Father Harland.
The
Father
idea Harland. Of music as a spiritual practice must be something that you've thought a lot about as well.
I feel like it's always been a part of me. It's always been something... for me, music was like a savior, right? Because I had a, you know, situation growing up, and I found music to be the one aspect of life that was completely non-judgmental. Like, mm-hmm. you could listen to music, and you can form your own opinion, but there was always a sense of invitation. And for me, understanding that, in a way, kind of brought to light what I feel like the true definition of spirituality was. It was always about an invitation, never about you had to be this or you had to do this or you had to achieve this. It was about just being and just existing within this. And so, yeah.
So invitation rather than prescription.
Oh, my God, yes.
Mm. Nice. Yeah. Zakir, you played with Pharoah Sanders, right?
Yes, I did. And it was a religious experience.
One of the giants of so-called spiritual jazz.
Unbelievable. The man is just, he's from a different planet.
Yeah.
You know, he's just so untainted by the business of music, the that whole thing that one has to reluctantly deal with. He's not even reluctantly dealing with it. It's like his life, his music, the way he hears it, the way he feels it. That's the way he's going to transmit it. And that purity and that confidence is amazing to watch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, experiencing live music at its best should be a kind of spiritual experience.
It should be. We're all trying to reach that high plane, which is a different place to be, a different hemisphere to exist, where we are trying to reach whatever that high spirit is that... blesses us every day and gives us, you know, the ability to breathe.
Yeah. Well, and when you get enough drums banging and crashing and wailing on stage, it can be a religious experience.
It most certainly can be, and
especially with this guy. Oh my God,
Zakir Hussain and Masters of Percussion. All three of you have been here before, but it's great to have had the three of you here together today. Thank you all for being here.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
This is Soundcheck. That soundcheck session was from our archives, but Zakir Hussain is still busy these days. In fact, on September 24th, Zakir and Eric Harland and the rest of the current lineup of Zakir Hussain and Friends will play a live streaming concert from San Francisco's SF Jazz series. And you can find out more info at sfjazz.org. And of course, you can find out more about our Soundcheck podcasts and our videos and much more at newsounds.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell, our producer Karen Havlick, and I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.